Coming up on show 1026, Rivian's charging network is going to be crazy ambitious. And I'll tell you why. Stick around. Also on the podcast today, UK cuts the EV subsidies very sadly. Amazon's electric delivery vans built by Rivian are on the road in San Francisco. And Audi have a new EV coming. If you like the Porsche Macan, you'll be pleasantly surprised. Well, good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, wherever you're listening in the world. Welcome to EV News Daily, edition for Friday, 19th of March. Yes, that's the date. Well done, brain. Keep up. My name is Martin Lee. I go through every EV story, so you don't have to. That's my job here. Go through all of the news, whittle it down, 15, 20 minutes a day. Think of it as a TLDR service for the EV industry. Okay, we'll kick off with Rivian. Of course, they're a startup backed by Amazon, Cox Automotive, and Ford. They've got plenty of money in the coffers. If they float and go public, they'll have even more in the war chest. Just announced plans. Put some meat on the bones. We knew about the Rivian Adventure Network, but what exactly is it? Now we know. 10,000 chargers by the end of 23. Which kind of blows my mind a little bit, but we'll get back to that in a moment. The network will have a dual purpose. Firstly, DC fast chargers only available to Rivian drivers. Secondly, level 2 chargers available to anyone further afield at parks and trailheads and adventure destinations, says TechCrunch. Well, the company said yesterday the Rivian Adventure Network will have 3,500 DC fast chargers at 600 sites only available to Rivian buyers. While the Adventure Network of chargers is solely for Rivian owners, the company will plan a level 2 network called Waypoints. Now, Waypoints available to everybody. They're going to number over 10,000 and will be installed again by the end of 2023. The first batch will go to Colorado's 42 state parks, each getting 2 Waypoints each, according to Auto Week. Well, the Waypoints will feature J1772 plugs, so that's what you'll have to plug into your EV. Charging speed of 11.5 kilowatts. Perfectly respectable if you're going to plug in and go on a hike for a few hours. Come back to a fully charged car. That sounds good. Rivian's two-tier plan of charging networks is a serious step for the company. Just months ahead of the market launch of the R1T, the truck, and the R1S as well a little bit later. Rivian owners will need to just plug in. That's it. So if you're a Rivian owner, at both of these, on the DC fast charging network and on the waypoints, turn up, plug in, walk away. Tesla network-esque. It's exactly the way it should be. Plug and charge have tried to do that, but there's been teething problems. So, you know, this is going to be Rivian cars, Rivian software, Rivian chargers. Like, we know the game plan, right? You've seen Tesla do that gameplay. So it should just work. There's nothing to get in the way. No membership cards, no apps. The first DC fast charging stations are going to be 200 kilowatts. Woo! That is fast. But Rivian has plans. They'll be eventually 300 kilowatts and beyond, says CNET. Well, the truck, the R1T, the pickup, and the R1S, the SUV, owners will fill their battery packs with 140 miles of range in 20 minutes. That's wonderful. Like the Adventure Network, Rivian owners will be able to charge automatically by pulling up and plugging in to the waypoints as well. But the public, if you're not a Rivian owner, you can use the slower ones, but on the AC charging, you'll have to jump through a few more hoops, but they wouldn't say what that is. Okay, let's run the numbers on these claims. 600 sites, 3,500 DC fast chargers. Let's just forget the fact that the hardware is going to be insanely expensive. They've got some money in the bank. They can probably afford it. So they're going to put them in by the end of 2023. They insist, right? So let's say they start installing on the 1st of April. And no, this isn't an April Fool's joke. That gives them 33 months through the end of 2023, which is no time at all to install 3,500 DC fast chargers at 600 sites. That is 18 sites per month starting basically today, and every month, 18 sites. Well, include working days, Monday to Friday, that is a site a day. A DC fast charging site every single day for the next 2 years and 9 months. Is that going to happen? Well, you decide. Permitting is a nightmare. Getting electricity can be a nightmare. Waiting for the permits for high power upgrades to the local grid you know, 200 kilowatt charging stations alone, 300 kilowatt charging stations, there'll be six, you know, six of these in a row. You are installing megawatts of power. That's not easy. And it's expensive, right? But they've got some money. We'll put the money aside. That takes a long time to get the bureaucracy done for that. Anyway, like I say, one of them a day from April. Okay, well, good luck. I always try and be positive on this podcast. So I'll leave you to put that one together yourself. Right, let's talk about UK cutting EV subsidies. Like I say, I try and be positive, but I'm not sure there's many positive spins to this story. The plug-in car grant that we have here, it's free money off a car. So if a car is on sale for 30 grand, you'll pay 27. Nothing to do with tax bills and things like that. It is for pure electric cars. It was £3,000. It's now £2,500 as of yesterday, on Thursday. Everybody woke up. The announcement was earlier in the morning, although the Times newspaper published at 1 minute past midnight and before the government announcement. So somebody had been tipping off the Times newspaper, but if that's true. Everybody woke up to this news. But I mean, everybody woke up to the news. So the government have reduced it from £3,000 to £2,500, which is, you know, not the end of the world. It's £500. It's a lot of money, but you can deal with that. But they've reduced the threshold from cars that are £50,000 RRP. So that's gone down to £35,000 recommended retail price. And that retail price, the recommended retail price of £35,000, has to be the car as it stands with a, you know, with its powertrain. You can't make, you can't add options which would significantly increase the powertrain afterwards, for instance. You can't have that as an option. So that has to be the price of the car. Well, that's just immediately wiped out every Tesla on sale, because they start at £40,000 in this country. And effectively, it changes the buying process overnight for so many families and hardworking people putting their finances in place. The measures, the government say, have been taken to ensure funding lasts longer. There's a pot of money, and actually if fewer people can access it, it'll last longer. Well, I guess that is logical. The £50,000 price cap has been lowered to £35,000 because higher-priced vehicles are typically bought by buyers who can afford, they say, without taxpayer money. Cars now excluded, the Tesla Model 3, as driven by our own Transport Secretary. Grant Shapps bought one recently and would have enjoyed the money off the car, because he bought a Model 3. Several times last year, the Model 3 was Britain's best-selling car in the monthly registration rankings. Much of that was COVIDed, though. The lobby group, the Society of Motor Manufacturers and Traders, the SMMT, Chief Exec Mike Hawes, had something to say about this immediately, and I quote, "New battery electric technology is more expensive than conventional engines, and incentives are essential to make these vehicles affordable to the customer. Cutting the grant and eligibility moves the UK further behind other markets, which are increasing their support, making it yet more difficult for the UK to get supply. This sends the wrong message to the customer, especially private customers, and to an industry challenged to meet the government's ambition to be a world leader in the transition to zero emission mobility," end quote. There's some points in there that I really agree with him on. So the £500 less is an inconvenience, but you can deal with that. Going from £50,000 to £35,000 for the threshold is a really big deal. You know, my biggest problem with this was no warning. Now, I'll present the opposite case. If you do warn people that, you know, in 3 months' time, the grant is going down and completely going for anything over 35, then people can game the system. You'll be getting people flooding orders that they're not going to then fulfill for a reasonable period of time, like large fleet orders and things, just getting them in the system and putting them through. So, and that can actually have an adverse effect, because all of a sudden you get this huge strain on the system as people try and get in before the deadline. So that would be, I guess, the counter argument if I'm trying to, you know, I am trying to present all sides, trying to walk in everybody's shoes of this argument. But it's a really disrespectful way to treat hardworking people after a terrible COVID year, to just have no respect for the way that they plan tight family finances. And I'm talking about families here, because cars that they're buying are those cars, the ID4, the Skoda Enyaq, the Hyundai Kona, the Kia e-Niro. These are not luxury cars that company directors are driving on, you know, big fat salaries and taking the mickey out of the system, right? So it was the no-notice thing that bothered me more than anything else. And I think that's just a pretty terrible way to treat people. Ford of Great Britain chairman Graham Hoare said, and I quote, "It's disappointing and not conducive to supporting zero emissions future that we all desire," end quote. And the point of the car industry as well, global companies are having to have conversations around the boardroom table urgently, saying, well, we've got to change our websites, our pricing, all of the dealer information, the PDFs, now. Have to do it immediately, inconveniencing the business with no notice, zero notice. Look, EVs are in a limited supply globally. How many of those do you think will be diverted now to the UK? I mean, we're right-hand drive already, so they have to do special runs to make cars for us. How inclined do you think global car makers are now to go out of their way to supply the UK, when the UK clearly doesn't give a toss about them? So, sorry to be negative, let me present the alternative. The government stating the number of available EVs with a price below 35 grand has actually gone up by 50% since 2019. Well, yeah, if you want to talk percentages, if there were two on sale, now there's three. It's a 50% increase. Vans get even harder hit, but I won't get into that now because I know that vans and commercial vehicles are a bit more of a niche, but they've been actually even harder hit with changes. Steve Fowler, who is the editor-in-chief of Auto Express, says, and I quote, "The government kicks the car industry and car buyers squarely in the guts. Slashing the plug-in car grant and lowering the limit is ludicrous. I'm so angry. I thought it was April the 1st. A bad, bad move," end quote. I tweeted, having seen Tesla's reaction, "If anyone fancies buying a Tesla in the next 12 days, Tesla have guaranteed to cover the car grant at least until the end of the month. They're doing the right thing by their customers to go, look, we were all caught unawares by this, but buy a Tesla by the end of the month and we'll cover the government bit of it, but not from the 1st of April. An example of a family car caught out by the overnight change is the Hyundai Ioniq. Now, the Ioniq, not the new Ioniq 5 out the end of the year, but the car called the Ioniq is not an expensive fat cat's luxury car. It's very much an ordinary family car. There's two specs. There's the premium and the premium SE. The premium yesterday was £31,000. Well, that just got a £500 grant cut, so now it's £31,500. Okay, it's £500 more, not ideal, monthly payments, you deal with it. The premium SE version of the car yesterday cost 33 grand, but because the RRP is just above 35, there's now zero grant available. So that car actually had a £3,000 price increase to £36,000. And that car is not worth £36,000. Again, let me present another point of view for you. Some people saying that the car manufacturers that sell in that £36,000, £37,000, £38,000 price range will magically overnight reduce all of their prices to £34,995 to come in just under the grant thing. I'm not sure too many of them have £2,000, £3,000, £4,000 margin that they can just slash overnight. I will wait and see what happens to pricing. Look, you can still buy a Mini, an MG5, an MGZS EV, a Fiat 500, a Leaf, a Mokka, an E208, a Zoe, a small battery Kona, an ID3 Pro Spec, the Corsa E, all still available, all with the grant. Let's end on a positive note. Next, we'll talk about, and actually, I know that many of my listeners are not in the UK, and I don't want to rant, so let's open this up to discussion. What do you think? What's a good way to incentivize? Is it to offer discounts at the point of purchase? Is it better to just give people free access to parking and bus lanes and taxi lanes and things? We also don't pay vehicle excise duty, otherwise known as road tax, which is hundreds of pounds a year, zero on EVs. So that's another benefit, which I forget all the time because I don't pay it, you know, as an EV owner. What's the best incentive for EVs, buyers, sellers? Like, I don't think there's no perfect solution. The solution we've got is not perfect, as I've just shown you for the last 5 minutes by talking around this subject. If you try and do anything with it, there's always going to be a downside. And so once you've started an incentive, it's very hard to take it away without totally mucking with marketplaces. But there you go. Hey, I'm no economist. Love to hear from you. Email address, hello@evnewsdaily.com. Maybe a future question of the week. Okay, let's move on and talk about Amazon's new electric vehicle vans built by Rivian, now deployed in San Francisco. They are so cute, like a big Honda E, big round headlights on the front. It looks so cool. Online retailer Amazon is testing out their fully electric delivery vans in San Francisco, built by the Amazon-backed company Rivian. Deploying them in San Francisco is the second West Coast city that Amazon is testing them in, following deployments in LA in February, says Future Car website. Now, the current fleet of vehicles was built at Rivian's Plymouth, Michigan studios, and they do 150 miles a day on a single charge. That is plenty for a typical Amazon delivery route. Next, Audi in the news. Audi will fill the gap between the Q4 e-tron, that's not even out yet, but the upcoming Q4 e-tron, and the e-tron already in showrooms. That's a big gap between those two cars. E-tron is, it's a super luxury car when you look at the pricing. Filling the gap with a new model, and it's called the Q6. So that makes sense. Q4, kind of a small SUV crossovery type thingy. Like a Volvo XC40-ish competitor. Q6, bit of a big brother to it. It's due out next year in the US. It's a crossover, and the thing is, it's sharing its underpinnings with the all-new electric Porsche Macan. According to Autoblog, Audi is positioning the Q6 as an electric alternative to the Q5. Don't let the common bones fool you. The Q6 will not be a rebadged Macan, much like the Audi e-tron RS e-tron GT, get that in the right order, is not a rebadged Taycan. It's his own car, right? So it's going to ride on the PPE platform that the Taycan does, the Audi and Porsche co-developed 800 volt system. And you know, if you like me love Audi's design language, I like the interior, the exterior, the styling, the finish. I don't mind a button or two. I'm old school. Give me a button to turn the heating on. You're going to love this. Not that I've seen it yet. And we look forward to seeing it. And that's your podcast for today. Well, there are 1,025 episodes in the archive. Get them for free. Because I couldn't charge for this. So the blog is ev.news. And I thank you so much to everyone that shares this show with a friend, a colleague, at least one person who would get some value out of it. You must know someone. Hey, forward it on. Send them a note. Hey, I found a podcast about electric cars. Have a listen. I'd love you to share it. Thank you to my premium partners, Phil Roberts of Electric Future, Brad Crosby, Porsche of The Village in Cincinnati, Audi of Cincinnati East, Volvo Cars of Cincinnati East, NationalCarCharging.com and AlohaCharge.com, Derek Riley, the aforementioned EV Review Ireland YouTube channel, and Richard, buying and selling EVs in the UK, rsev.co.uk. Have a great day. See you tomorrow. And remember, there's no such thing as a self-charging hybrid.